it's impossible. It feels like a lot of the times we're able to do things. It feels like a lot of the times we're able to master this or muster up the strength for that. But honestly, we can't ever really do it that successfully. Time always beats us. Energy always beats us. Or something always gets in the way. But with man, it's impossible. There's not a full stop there. There's just a comma to tell us there's another part. But with God, all things are possible. And so over these last few weeks and over the next few weeks, that is what we are reminding our hearts of. Not just for the building project next door, but for the project inside of your life where God is trying to mold you and shape you and transform you. We've got to remind ourselves, with man, with ourselves, we can do very little. In fact, we can do hardly anything. But with God, we can do possible, impossible things. He makes things possible. And that's what we're reminding ourselves. But I was just praying this week, I was saying, Lord, where do you want to go next? And he started to give me some ideas of the steps that we're going to take over the next few weeks. But one of the major ones he wanted to remind us of this morning is this, is that we are people of joy. People of joy. Now again, we're going to get into it in just a few moments, but we've got to remind ourselves that our joy is not dependent on what happens. That is happiness. Happenings, happiness. If good things happen, I feel happy. It usually works out at the end of the happenings. When it works out the way that I wanted to, then I become happy. But all along the way, I am stressed. I am full of worry. I am like, when is this going to be over? If we're not careful, a big project like next door, it can become like that. Oh my goodness, when we sell more seats, I'm going to become more happy. Whenever we see the first thing going into the ground, I'm going to become really happy and really satisfied. And the Lord says, no, your joy is greater than that. And so we're going to go on a joy discovery this morning. If you want to laugh, you can do that. If you want to cry, you can do that. But joy touches our emotions. It challenges the way we think and the way that we move through life because we are people of joy. Here's the thought that really grabbed my attention. It's right in the middle of Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. It says, for the joy set before him. And you're thinking, wow, that just sounds like a great thing. I know you're already reading it, but let me just set it up. You hear that phrase, for the joy set before him. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. We should have joy before us with every task, with every obstacle, and it's all going to be good. We're all going to make it. But in the context of this reality, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Wow. As Jesus was going to the cross, there was joy in front of him. Wow. Imagine that for a moment this morning, because sometimes if we're not careful, life is like this. Whenever things working out well, I'm in good. When everything's not working out well, there's no good in me. There's no good around me. I just want to get to the good stuff. And the Lord says this morning that in the midst of the impossible, in the midst of the dark days, there is still joy there for you. There is still joy saved up for you. There is still joy there for your life. And what I love about this verse is that it shows the reality of Jesus. He had a mission in front of him. He had a goal in front of him. He came to be the Savior of the world. He came to save our sins. He came to transform our lives. But it says this, for the joy set before him. In other words, he kept going because of joy. Because of joy, he was able to endure. Because of joy, he was able to move forward. And church, this morning, we have impossible tasks in front of us. Whether it's to pay a bill, whether it's to see a loved one saved, whether it's to buy a seat, whether it's to see the building come to fruition, whether it's to get a new job, whatever it is, what are the impossible situations? If we're not careful, we only have joy in the good times and we forget about our joy in the bad times. But God says, no, my joy supersedes your experience. My joy comes from me. And church, this morning, if we are believers in Christ, if we are new creations in Jesus, then our joy comes from him. Our joy is inside of us. There is joy in the middle of the impossible. That's what we read in those scriptures. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the midst of that impossible, joy was right there, helping him, encouraging him, sustaining him. Here's what I find, and maybe you find it too, when we step into the impossible and we step into difficult situations, there's so much opposition. And this morning we could focus on all the people that says this about us and all the things that don't work out for us, but we have enough problems going on internally. I find when I step out to go for something, I'm like, at the start it's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And it's like, oh, it's just not going to work. No, that changed. It's not working. My own mind is starting to feed me. And then I start to talk differently. At the beginning it was like, yes, surely, we're going to surely overcome this. We're going to make this happen. And they started, oh, I don't know. This is not going to work out. It's not going to happen. Whether it be the building, whether it be passing an exam, whether it be trying to get the driving test, whatever it is, whatever those things are, be careful that you're not sabotaging yourself, because in the midst of the impossible, there's always opposition. But here's what we need to know. That opposition is actually a friend. That opposition is actually a friend, because what does it tend to do? Hopefully it does this for your life, or at least it should. Whenever that opposition starts to rise, whenever I start to talk funny and talk defeatist and start to think in a different way and start to like, oh, I'm all over the place, you know what I tend to do? I try to, with all my strength, with all my might, get into the presence of God. I try to remind myself of who I am in Christ. I try to remind myself of what God says about me. And it's in those moments that something happens that cannot happen any other way. We learn a depth to ourselves. We learn a depth to our faith. Here's what I find, is that sometimes my faith is good until I get to a test. And then when I go through the test, guess what happens? My faith becomes proven. Wow. Suddenly that faith that I thought in theory worked suddenly becomes a reality. It's almost like concrete. It's like, yes, I know I can trust God there. I know I can believe God there. It's our faith gets proven. Our faith gets tested, but it gets proven as we trust God. We get this strong confidence. You know when you have a confidence like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. But it's coming from your good words over yourself, or just what you're reading, or just what you're thinking. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Going to do it. And then you get halfway through. It's like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Oh, we're not going to do it. And then somebody else tells you, we're not going to do it. Oh, my goodness, we're not going to do it. And our confidence is completely gone. But it's incredible when we go through the impossible and we press into God in those moments, in His presence, that suddenly we're like, wow, I'm going to do this. There's a strong confidence. God is with me. Surely I will overcome. And there's something inside of this joy, and we'll look at it later on this morning, but there's something about our joy that says there's joy before us, that says no matter what the enemy would shake, no matter what we would face, we already know the outcome. We already know we're sons and daughters of the living God. We already know our home is secure in heaven. We already know no matter what we lose, even if we lose our life, we are with Him forever. See, we are people of joy, founded in joy. It lives inside of us. Bible tells us in Galatians that it's a fruit of the Spirit. What's the good news about that? Is that you don't have to go try and work this joy up yourself. Happiness, you got to go and try and work it up yourself. You got to depend on somebody else to work it up for you. As long as the happenings work out, then you're happy. But God says this morning, my joy, it comes from me. I produce it in you. Wow. There is joy that's being produced in you this morning. And our job is this, is to remind ourselves that there's joy inside of me. To remind ourselves that Jesus has put His joy inside of my life. So no matter what storm, no matter where I find myself, I have a joy that will overcome. We're going to look at Paul and Silas in a moment this morning. We're going to see guys that no matter what the situation looked like, they still had a joy inside, and it just started coming out, and suddenly it transformed the surroundings that they were in. You see, we have a joy that comes through deep work as we would go through struggles together with Jesus. We said already, but we come out with this strong confidence. We come out with a proven faith. We even come out with this joy emotion, like satisfaction, like fulfillment, like contentment, like I did this. Wow, thank you, Lord. These are all real emotions, real feelings that come from joy that can only come from Him. We can get it from other things, but it never lasts. We can get it from other things, but it never lasts. That joy fruit that comes from God is incredible. And so we said already, our joy comes from God. But I want us to read Psalm 28, verse 6-8. Let's read this one together. It says, praise the Lord. David wants to praise, for he has heard my cry for mercy. You see, David was in many a predicament. Maybe you're maybe you feel you're a bit like David, in many a turmoil, in many a trial, and you're thinking, Lord, help me, help me, help me. This is where David found himself. He said, praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. These are good principles. These are good ideas. These are good things that we must remind ourselves to do. He helps me, and my heart is filled. Now, don't miss this. And my heart is filled with joy. Where does your joy come from? Your joy comes from Jesus. You get your joy when you're in His presence. As you're in His presence, look what He's doing. He's just filling you up. He's just filling you up. Just like every night. Anybody put their phone in the charge every night? What does it do? All night long, the charge is going into the phone. The electricity is filling up your phone so that in the morning, your phone is ready to go. But if you don't put it on the charger, what do you get? Oh no, my phone's out of battery. I've got to run to work. Oh my goodness, the alarm didn't go off. We are panicking. We are freaking out. Imagine if we were like that with ourselves. Did I plug into Jesus today? Did I spend time in his presence today? Real time. Because you know when you plug your charger in fast and you take it out fast, you know that your phone's only going to last for a limited time. It hasn't got enough time on the charge to charge to do the things you need it to do. What if we saw that the same way in our lives? When I'm in his presence, there is fullness of joy. But if I'm in his presence for just a moment, I may not get the fullness that I need. So we got to be realistic. We got to be practical. We got to remind ourselves. We can get distracted from our joy. We can have our joy start to wane in a sense of we forget that it's there. But as I'm in his presence and I trust him with all my heart, he helps me and my heart is filled with joy. Where's your joy? It's in your heart. Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. And if it's not in your heart, then it's going to be no good. It's got to be in here. Here's what I love about joy versus happiness. Happiness is on the outside that penetrates to the inside. Joy is on the inside that penetrates or should penetrate to the outside. In church this morning, when we're going through our battles, when we're going through our difficult seasons, we've got to allow that joy to move forth from us. We've got to allow that joy to come out from us. Because if we don't, we're doing an injustice to the world around us. It's got to come out because it's that joy that comes from Jesus that's inside us that will transform the world around us. It's that joy that goes, oh my goodness, what have you got? I need to have that joy. Remind yourself this morning, you are a person of joy. We are people of joy. It's being produced in us because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And as we spend time with him, it comes out. Second thought, don't get distracted from your joy. Don't get distracted from your joy. This happens to me all the time. I'm going to talk about me, and if it resonates with you, then you're like, yes, me too. But I get distracted from my joy all the time. I start to get consumed with what I need to do. I start to get consumed with what I have to do. I start to get consumed by the pressures that are on me. I start to get consumed by all the things that I'm trying to carry, by all the big burdens that I'm trying to sort out. And I forget that God calls me to give them all to him and simply be a child of God that rests and flows in his anointing. But here's a precious prophetic picture that God gave us just a few months ago. I think I mentioned it once. I'm going to mention it again because it just ties in so well. And it's a good way to remind ourselves of the joy that we have. So back a few months ago, praying, believing, asking God, oh my goodness, how are we even going to work out the money? Stressing about everything, stressing about all these things. Just under pressure to try and move forward because you know the time is short and God has called us to move. And it was in those moments when we stepped away from ourselves and our own needs and our own wants that suddenly God was able to move. And then God gave us an incredible prophetic picture. He showed me an image of a parachute. Anybody know a parachute? But not as you know it. One of the parachutes that we use for the kids. You know that one? It's like a big circle, really colorful, has loads of handles all around it. And we bring it up to like all the different estates that we go to. We use it. It's just really cool. We bring it out. We get all the kids around. We put a ball in the middle. We try to keep the ball on. We just put it up, let it go. We do all sorts of fun and games with it. And I got this picture of the parachute. And here's what I love about this game. It's fun, fun, fun. There's just nothing serious about it. We're not keeping score. It's just fun from start to finish. It's all about just getting people together. You find your handle. And here's what I find is that there's always room for one more. There's always room for, we're like, hey, do you want to come? Yes, jump in, take a handle. You want another one? We get them in. You can get about 30, 40 kids in it, and we can all have fun together. And I started to get this picture, and I said, Lord, what's this about? And then here's because of the season I was in, I was like, but Lord, what happens if the ball falls off? And the Lord says, no, your job is just to hold the handle. And as you hold the handle, you know what I want you to do? Have fun. Move that thing up and down. Laugh, joke. Just let it go sometimes. Go and grab it again. Let the wind take it from you. Do all those fun stuff. What happens if the ball falls off, Lord? What are we going to do? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, I'm going to put it back on. I'm going to put it back on for you. Whenever that comes off, I'm going to do it for you. And the picture that God just kept giving me over and over and over again was this. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of what you're trying to achieve next door, in the midst of all that's going to happen, remember to have fun along the way. Remember that you have a joy that's inside of you. Remember that you have a joy that sustains you. And here's the weird thing about joy. Sometimes you're like, I'm not sure if this is appropriate. I'm not sure if it's appropriate. You know, I have been to times, that funerals, saddest times you're ever going to go to. But when sometimes you just get in the presence and you're with the family. I remember one time, especially with the family afterwards, and this joy started to bubble up. And nobody was laughing, but there was just this joy that was just radiating from them. Like they were sad, but they were happy. Like they were sad, but they were content. Like they were sad, but they were at peace, because there was a joy inside of their hearts that says, yes, we may miss that person, but we know they are fully satisfied with Christ. In church this morning, it's okay not to be serious all the time. It's okay not to be serious all the time. It's okay, I'm speaking to myself. It's okay not to be serious all the time. We can have fun and enjoy because God has called us to be people that would rejoice and enjoy every single day in every single battle. What do we see over and over and over again in the Old Testament? As they would rejoice, as they would have joy, as they would rejoice in the Lord, the enemy would be defeated. Many times the choir would go before the army because it's not about what we can do. It's all about who we're worshiping. It's all about who we're rejoicing over. It's all about who's taking control. And God took the lead. And as God takes the lead, he does what he needs to do. You see, what can we do in our own strength? Absolutely nothing. Our joy is this. My joy is in Jesus. He does the hard work. He does the heavy lifting. I can rejoice. And it comes out in forms of prayer and worship, contentment, satisfaction. God is good. God's got this under control. See, church, as we move forward, we are people of joy because this is what God has planned. He puts it inside of us, and all we have to do is let it come out. If we don't remind ourselves of the joy that we have, we get consumed with all the uncertainties, and we think, will it ever be? Will it ever happen? What will we do? It just consumes us. God says, be consumed with joy and let it radiate from your life. I want us to look at two guys full of joy and the predicament that they find themselves in. This is Acts chapter 16. We're going to read just a load of verses, 8-9 verses, but I just love it. I couldn't cut it down, so I wanted to put it all in. Can we read it together? So it's going to come from Acts chapter 16, verse 22, and it says this: the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. So what's happened just before this, just before we read it, is that Paul and Silas have been out, full of the joy of the Lord, just seeing signs and wonders and miracles happening all over the place. And now they come, and there's this girl that just keeps following them. Now, I don't know if she fancies them, but she just keeps following them. And she just keeps crying out and doing all these funny things. And she's all into this like kind of dark arts kind of stuff and all of this crazy stuff going on. But she sees something on Paul and Silas that says, wow, they've got something different than I have. They have a power that I do not have. And eventually Paul and Silas get fed up and they just say, okay, just spirit be gone. And they set her free. And now they all just get cross, and people all get angry because they're like, wow, these guys are able to get the demons to flee? Who are these guys? What are they able to do? These guys are incredible. And of course, the religious people of the day, because the religious people sometimes get cross, but the religious people of the day couldn't understand it, and they started to come against these disciples. They started to come against the things of God, and they said, okay, we're angry. We want to sort these guys out. It says, the crowd joined an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Oh my goodness, this is proper getting beaten up for the things of God. Anybody ever had that before? Hands up. Hopefully not. But these guys, they got stripped and beaten with rods. They were severely flogged. They were thrown into prison. They were told to be put in the inner cells, and their feet were put in the stocks. Oh my goodness, these guys must be the world's worst people in the whole world. And you're thinking, what have they got to rejoice about? What have they got to be thankful for? We're going to see what happens next. Let's go to the next bit. It says about midnight. Come on, they waited all night. They just thought, well, wait all night. Maybe they're just building up to this thing to get to the most opportune moment. But at midnight, they decided to just start singing, start rejoicing, start thanking the Lord for where they were, because they know this is not about where I am, it's about where I am in Christ. It's who I have in my heart. This is about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They started doing church in the middle of a prison, when the rest of us would be thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? Get me out of here. I shouldn't even be in here. This is ridiculous. This is not good for me. They started to have joy. They started to rejoice. They started to thank the Lord. Church started to happen. The other prisoners were starting to listen. Suddenly, we said last week, we talked about 24 hours. Today, we're bringing it up. We're saying suddenly. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I don't know if they were bad singers, but something started to happen. Holy Spirit started to move. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Wow. First slide, doom and gloom. Nothing to rejoice about. One earth, why would we sing praises to God? There's something deeper inside of you. You've got to find it. You've got to find the deeper joy that's inside of you that's not based on what you're going through. You've got to find this depth that you can only find sometimes in the midst of the struggles. And you've got to choose to rejoice and thank the Lord. You've got to choose to rejoice. And then the second slide shows what happens. Everything turns around because they start to rejoice. They start to remind themselves of whose they are. And it doesn't matter where they find themselves. And suddenly the presence and the power of God starts to move in incredible ways. The jailer woke up and he was ready to end his life because he thought the game was up. Third slide, but Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wow. At the start of the passage, Paul and Silas, we thought, were the ones that needed saved. By the end of the story, there was only one person needed saved, the jailer himself. You see, church, this morning, we've got to recognize, we've got to realize there is joy inside of us that cannot be contained. But sometimes our old stinking thinking wants to get in the way and say, "Oh, I'm just going to complain instead. I'm just going to think this instead. I'm just going to be like this way instead. I'm not going to go for it. No, I don't care, God. I can't take this. This is not fair." And all of these things start to cloud our vision. But how do we realign? Get in this presence, get filled up fresh joy, and watch how that joy pushes away all that other stuff. And even when you're in prison, you're going to start a praise service at 12 o'clock when you should be sleeping, feeling sorry for yourself. And by the end of it, an earthquake's going to come. Your chains are going to fall off and people are going to want to get saved. People are going to want to get saved. Why is that? Because no one has seen joy before. It only comes from Jesus. No one has seen his joy before. It only comes from Jesus. And where is his joy this morning? It's in all of you. It's in me. And if it doesn't come out, then the world gets deprived of the goodness of God that would drive them to salvation. Romans tells us it's the goodness of God that brings men and women to salvation. It brings them to repentance because it's like, wow, how do we get this? How do we get that joy? I thought my joy was based on what happens to me, but your joy doesn't seem to be limited to anything at all. It seems free from all of those things. In church this morning, this is the joy that we have. We rejoice in little or in lots. We rejoice whether we have everything that we want or we have nothing that we want. We rejoice whether we're going through the deepest, darkest trial or we're on the mountaintop thanking God for all that he has just done. We rejoice no matter what because our joy is inside of us, not dependent on what's happening around us. Jesus is greater than that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You see, Jesus had joy in front of him. He had joy inside of him. He saw joy everywhere around him. Church, this morning, if I could encourage your heart as we're stepping further and further into this year, as maybe you're going for a new job, or maybe you're going through trials in many different forms, or maybe you're just trying to scrape up the beans to buy a seat for next door. I don't know what the struggle is, but know this, in the midst of the struggle, God is increasing your joy. He's increasing your joy. Don't forget about it. Don't cover it up. Be unashamed about it. And start singing and start rejoicing. And start reminding the enemy that he is defeated and he is all beat up and he's got no hands and he's got no plans in your life. Do not hide your joy. Do not let it diminish. Do not cover it up. God is too good in your life and he's got great things for you to do. We have a mission to fulfill. Paul and Silas, as they sat in that prison, they probably thought to themselves, how are we going to fulfill the good commission here? Maybe the words of Jesus started to ring out in their minds and where he said, hey, you're supposed to do greater things than me. I wonder, did that even cross their hearts or cross their minds? Or did they say this, we know that God's in control of everything. With man, this may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And the next moment, prison doors start to open. Guards want to get saved. Chains fall off. A praise service erupts. An earthquake takes place. And nothing is ever the same again. We are people of promise. We are people of joy. We are people that have an overcoming spirit inside of us. And I've got to encourage you this morning, church. It is time to allow that joy to rise up and come forth. Because as it does, it will bring many men and women to salvation.